What's poppin', man? It's Audio Al, and you're listening to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, right here on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming apps.
I know him.
It is poppin', man. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. It is... Oh my god, I did my thing out of order. Anyways, I am one of the hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by your other hosts, the Josh Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folks.
Hi, folks, as well. We appreciate those who interact in the Discord. We appreciate people who check out the second start times in the description below. Thank you at Levi Oki for all the beautiful illustration that we have on this beautiful podcast. Josh, it is November 28th, 2023, 7:30 p.m. How are you feeling on this lovely Tuesday evening?
A lot better than most people in Minnesota, I'm guessing.
Why, Josh? Why? Does it make you feel good about yourself? Do you feel good putting us down?
No, because I watched that entire game last night.
Yeah, exactly. So you suffered with us.
Exactly.
Having to watch that was pretty brutal.
Yep. It was definitely eye bleach. But how are you, Gar? What have you been up to?
I'm fine. So we were last live on Black Friday morn around 7:30 or 8 in the morning, excuse me. Since then, I went up to the DL. I saw the Greasy Tea. I saw Drunk Uncle Brian. Played some bingo. Played some bags. Almost had a miraculous comeback in a doubly limb bags tourney, but I just couldn't do it. Yeah, I don't know. I had a pretty swell weekend, a very busy weekend, honestly. I was surprised by how busy I was. Normally, I have a lot more downtime at those family events, but I was moving and grooving between events, and I think I went to bed on Saturday night at like 3 in the morning, if not 4 in the morning, so there was a lot going on. I had a very, very busy weekend. How about you, Josh? I know last we heard from you, at least on these airwaves, you were thinking about doing some Black Friday checking out, not necessarily looking to spend any moan, but you were thinking about going down to Riverdale, checking some things out, and then getting home before Asher's nap time. Did you end up pulling any triggers on Black Friday?
Nope. No triggers pulled. Not on Black Friday.
Any Cyber Mon?
Well, I guess technically, yeah.
Oh.
I did online. I bought some more Chubbies. That's kind of my brand of choice. So I got, since winter's coming, I got a windbreaker jacket sponsored by, it's like a windbreaker kind of track jacket. George Kittle was wearing it. It's got a bunch of different colors on it. So I was like, yeah, I'll get that. Originally $100, got it for $40. Then I got it's a quilted, so it's like a bed quilt pullover. So it's like a quarter zip pullover, and it's made of that fabric, and it is like blue and red with some funky patterns on it. And then I got a pair of joggers that has like a paint splash that kind of reminds me of the More You Know rainbow, but it's not a rainbow. It's just like four different colors. So I got those, but yeah.
So
I got three things. Yeah. I got three things. All came to 120 because everything on their website was 40 or less. So all of the things, well, 99% of the things are $40. So I got three things. When originally everything on that list was either $90 or more. So I was like, that's a pretty good deal for the fact that I wear them every day.
Not bad, dude. What about Nikita? Nikita get anything cool for Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
Nope. I hit her wallet.
Oh, that's not very
No,
nice.
I'm just kidding. She got a few things here and there, just odds and ends, but neither of us buy into the whole Hallmark Black Friday scheme, the scam that they have going on where they mark up prices and then they jack down the sales. And yeah, we're on to you, world. I know that there's a Black Friday warehouse out there just pumping out those TLC TVs just to make people think they're getting a good deal when in reality all they're getting is a cardboard box with a piece of glass in front of it.
I mean, that is a fair point. Black Friday used to be a really good deal, and then all the manufacturers started making products that had cheaper components and all these other things that were specific for Black Friday, so they could be cheaper. So it used to be just marked down, you know, high quality goods, and now, you know, a lot of that, you know, big sticker shock things are actually just different. If you look at the SKUs, the SKU numbers, they're different from the normal products, and they're made with more shit stuff. So there is definitely a lot of truth to what you just said, Josh. How do you know you weren't getting scammed by Chubbies? You said everything used to be $100, you got it for $40. Were you not getting the same scam?
Well, see, that's kind of why, I mean, I'd be hesitant if this was like the first time buying from them, but it's not. Like, it's literally all my closet is right now is basically their product. And so when I get them, I mean, I know that they they allow for returns, and if like their seams rip out or they're like the product is defective anyway, they will send you like a, you could text them and they'll send you like a replacement. So they're pretty nice. I've even had the opportunity to, like, I've returned something and there was a difference in the price and they sent a gift with it, even though the difference in the price benefited me in the long run. And they sent a gift because I had to go through the hassles. I was like, you know, I could.
Wow. Sounds like Chubbies is really taking care of you, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm probably 90% of their income.
I was gonna say, is there any chance we can get them to be? Can we get them to sponsor the pod? We've just given them a good.
No, they sponsor Adam Thielen, so they probably won't sponsor me and George Kittle. So,
well, we'll see. All right, Josh, we should probably actually get into the podcast. Now, I did not expect that Charbity's marketing ploy, but I'm not against it. I've certainly marketed for some things over the years for free.
Yeah, stupid things like elections.
Whoa, dude. How dare you? We live in a society. Josh, are we finally getting back to the rhyming wrap-up this week? Are you ready?
Well, see, I sat down today and I thought, you know, I could probably write a couple bars, but I was like, you know, we're in that November, December. It's getting chilly willy out. The SADs kicking in, the big sads for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. The seasonal affective disorder is real.
Yep. And so I know you've suffered and you suffer and I suffer with it and a lot of people do. So I decided that instead of going through and tearing people down with rhymes, I'm going to go through and I'm going to say something nice about all of the teams that lost this week.
Okay. I'm sure this will be no way tongue in cheek and you'll just be a genuine nice guy. I'm excited.
Absolutely. So starting off, we're going to go with the first game that happened for this week. The Lions, they lost, but in the past, it would take Detroit 3 full seasons to get to 8 wins, and they have 8 wins with 6 games left. So round of applause to them. The Commanders, Rivera is providing some amazing content, and his post-game interviews are must-watch TV. The Seahawks, Pete Carroll might outlive us all and finally get to implement the 4 running back scheme that he's dreamed of. So he's living his dreams. The Jets, they prove each week that spelling is something that their fans really focus on. Bengals, your team almost got a win with a backup, and you gave Pittsburgh that Christmas miracle of their first 400-yard game for the first time in 3 seasons. The Texans, I don't know what's going on in Houston, but it's always Stroudy with a chance of deep balls. Dell, yeah, brother. Buccaneers, easily the best priced corn on the market. Saints, your division's so bad, you might actually stumble into the division lead. Patriots, Steve Belichick's barber has never done him dirty. Panthers, you're setting records this season by firing Frank Reich. Records. Doesn't matter if they're good or bad. Cardinals, think of all the time you're saving by not needing to ask for booster seats during the playoffs. Joe Flacco is primed and ready to go for you, Browns, so he's got a Super Bowl ring. The Raiders, O'Connell's mustache is only a little rapey looking these days, not full on. Bills, just think of how prepared you'll be for heartbreak after back-to-back losses in the last second. Chargers, even in Minnesota, we can smell Staley's bum burning, so it's coming soon, guys. And Vikings, just take a look at the defense, kicking, and the running backs. They didn't lose you a game this week. And there's your positivity, positivity, positivity.
Wow, Josh, thank you for that PMA, that positive mental attitude. What would we do without you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will move on here to some fire in your gut. Not going to play the full sounder. I believe I just played it last Tuesday. Doesn't fully matter if we did or not, but we'll just play the two most inspirational quotes from it.
You have fire in your gut?
Better light the fire pretty fast.
Josh, I don't know if you have fire in your gut or not, but I'll go first regardless because you just did a lovely PMA segment there. I've got a couple different items that are giving me fire in my gut this week, Josh, and we'll start with this one. speaking of Josh's giant woo, giant cheer, Josh, I am out here setting records and making history in the Hidden Oaks Overdose, or excuse me, in the Hidden Oaks Fantasy Football Redraft League. I just broke 200 points scored for the first time in the league's history. No big deal. I also look like I'm well on pace to beat your points four in a season record per HiddenOaksOverdose.com, though of course you set the record when there's only 16 games, so or when there's 14 regular season games, or 13 regular season fantasy games, as opposed to 14, I guess. So, you know, it's not perfectly apples to apples, but I will break the record. Records are meant to be broken. It's not my fault the season expanded, but I am out here. I've already clinched the bye. I am having a historic run right now in the Hidden Oaks Redraft League, and I gotta say, I feel, you know, it's pretty nice to have the bye already clinched up, to be setting records, to be doing things. Your wife was unfortunately on the receiving end of my record setting, but you know what, Josh? That gives me a little bit of fire in my gut. But as you can probably already allude to, you can already foreshadow, you can already feel through my tone. I also have a different kind of fire in my gut, Josh. And that fire in my gut is brought to me by not being able to enjoy the ride. I haven't, you know, Josh, I am a prolific trash talker. I have been known to, no matter how good or bad I am at something, I will trash talk. I've talked about this on the show before plenty of times. I feel like trash talking, regardless, just kind of elevates the game. It makes me want to do good because I'm already talking trash, right? It also elevates the other person because now that I'm talking trash, they're motivated to beat me. And then if they beat me, they get to trash talk back and make me look silly. And if I win, then I get to double down on my trash talking. So anyways, I think trash talk just elevates everything, but I have not really said anything to anyone about my run in the Hidden Oaks Redraft League this year, and I just can't enjoy the ride because for the last three odd years, 2021, 2019, 2017, I have come in second place in this league, and what year is it, Josh? It's 2023, and I am destined to lose again, so I haven't even been able to be excited or enjoy the ride. And it's kind of depressing, honestly, to be able to be doing so well in fantasy and just not really caring about it just because you assume you will inevitably lose in the championship game. So I'll end up winning, well, I don't know, what is it, $100? I think I'll net $100. But yeah, it's kind of this weird, interesting thing that I'm doing so well, but I don't really even care. I don't know if that makes sense, but that gives me some gut gurgles as well. Josh.
So basically your gut gurgles, your positive and your negative, was how well you're doing in this league.
It's how well I'm doing, but also not enjoying it, Josh.
You're not enjoying the fact that you're coming out on top still?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really like, Josh, you've seen me win things. You've seen how arrogant and annoying I can get. Like, I would be blowing, a normal garlic move would be blowing up the group chat, would be getting in people's faces at, like, group events, like at Jesse's wedding, like I would have been bragging up and down. But how often have you heard me talk about other than the show?
Well, I'm sure you've got a long, long, long list in your notes app on your phone of things to say when you do win the championship, and it's going to be 400 days. It's going to go through next championship. You could finish 0-15, 0-whatever, and it'll be, I'm the champion. You probably already have a tattoo across your back.
See, Josh, that's what you should assume about me, but none of those things are true. That's the crazy part. Anyways, do you have any fire in your gut, Josh? Positive or negative?
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and hit that steamy roaster. Don't look now, but the Green Bay Packers are making a Super Bowl run. What?
What?
No, but in the last, ever since the bye, it seems like things
playoffs?
Are clicking.
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Things are clicking.
Playoffs?
Yep, nope, thank you. Yep, okay, thank you. Things are clicking. Jordan Love has been playing lights out since the bye. He's had a couple plays where it's just kind of like, what the heck is going on? But last week we got Christian Watson involved. I don't know if you know this, but the Lions are supposed to be good. They're not. We've got the Chiefs coming in. So that's going to be kind of a litmus test. But you know, the last time we played the Chiefs with Jordan Love, that was Jordan Love's first start, and their stats were identical between Love and Mahomes. Not that, you know, they play defense, but this defense is flying. I'm still on the fire Joe Barry train, but you know, just because I think that that pressure is helping him put together a competent defense. And so they've been doing solid. The corner that's replaced Rasul Douglas has been playing amazing. I think his last name is Ballantyne, so his dad must have had a stuffy nose when saying his last name. And it's supposed to be Valentine's. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with how this team's playing. And so with a group of young, it's a young core. It you know, things are looking up. And yeah, I'm hoping that things continue to trend upwards for this green and gold team.
Another day, another victory for the OG, taking down the sweats.
Exactly.
Can't believe that sounded work today. Also, shout out to Willie. He's probably here on accident, could already be gone by now, but as far as I can tell via Discord, Willie, aka Wilbert, is listening live, so shout out to him.
We're being used to put his children to sleep because of our dulcet tones.
Dude, it would be an honor to lull Willie's children to sleep with our content. That would be maybe the highest achievement this podcast has ever reached. Was that it for the fire in your gut, Josh? Shall we move on?
Yep, that's about it.
All right, Josh, we will move on to your wife's favorite segment, Josh. We'll get right into it. It's short-lived, but it is fun. Forky, what did the Bills say after having the Eagles on the ropes but watching Jake Elliott hit multiple clutch kicks?
I'm trash.
Hey, Forky, what's a synonym for Frank Reich?
Trash?
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, Forky, what did Josh Dobbs say to Justin Fields in their post-game dap-up?
You're just like me. Trash!
That is a fun little bit. It literally lasts only 40 seconds, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's not fair, though. Justin Fields, yeah, he had those two fumbles, but he did have a pretty clutch pass late in the game.
I mean, he had one clutch pass. He had, like, less than 10 fantasy points, Josh. If you're a bad fantasy player, you're a bad real-life player, okay? Can't argue. Can't argue with
good
facts.
Point. Dobbs finished with negative in some leagues. That's kind of funny.
Well, that's, I wasn't starting.
I mean, it was a real game. It's one of those where you just burn the tape.
Right. Anywho, Josh, let's move into the weekly wrap-up with Rap Sheet and Friends. Us being the friends, him being Rap Sheet.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's stolen. We're going to get some papers served.
I mean, Rap Sheet isn't even on Pat McAfee anymore. He's moved on to his own podcast. It makes me hella sad because Rap Sheet's way better than Schefter. I don't care what anyone says, at least from a personality standpoint. No, maybe Schefter is better. No, info,
yep, you are 100% right. Schefter just kind of has that, you know, punchable voice.
Yeah. Anywho, Josh, the weekly wrap up. What's your grain of salt, young man? How did you do in fantasy this week?
This week I went 8-1.
Ooh,
my one loss was a Victoria's Secret League against the spread. And so that brings my season total up to 76/32. I was the fifth highest team. I think that last catch by DJ Moore put Ben over the top. 76/32 overall with the 70% win percentage, according to the Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated. This was actually my best week overall. I had 53/13 against everybody, 80% win there. But on the season, I am 419/241 for 63.5%. Dang. How'd you do?
Yeah, well, I'm looking back at yours right now, and you've gone 52/14 twice, both in week 1 and in week 10. So you finally got over that hump to have your official best week at 53/13. Look, here you go, man. One more win is all it took.
Yeah.
Josh, also, I had a question for you. Do you think this is your best fantasy season? Because, like, a 70% win percentage straight up, a 64% or 63.5% playing every team every week. Like, is this one of your best fantasy seasons on record? You only have one league where you're at 500. The rest of them, you're doing hella good.
I mean, I wouldn't say hella good in the Victoria's Secret League.
You're 14-10.
Yeah, but I'm still a fringe playoff in that league, apparently. It's up there. I think it would be just because of all the games against the median, and having, you know, like the Champs League is kind of hoisting me up a bit, as well as the deflate these balls. That league, 11-1 right now. But yeah, so the median kind of helps with all of that, I guess. Then again, taking away the median, I'd actually have a better record in the Victoria's Secret League. So I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to go crunch some numbers and run some letters, I guess.
No, yeah, you don't have to do that. I was just curious because obviously I can see in the spreadsheet there's a lot of green. Anywho, Josh, you asked me about how I did. I went 6-4 this week. There's three guarantees in life, Josh: death, taxes, and Gar going 6-4 in any given fantasy week. It's my 7th time going 6-4 out of 12 possible weeks. So I'm here a lot. Overall, I'm 80-40 on the season, so that's obviously a perfect 2/3 win percentage. Moving down to the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated, I went 60-30 on the week, just one less win than last week. And obviously the numbers are diminishing because I'm in a guillotine league still, so there's less teams to compete against, otherwise identical to last week. So overall there, I'm 8-16-456, so that's a 64.2 win percentage. Killing it in the redraft league, killing it in Brad's guillotine league, and then my third best league would be my family and friends league, which I'm hoping and praying I can make the playoffs. And only the top four teams make the playoffs. I'm currently team number 4. You'd think I'd be doing better, but my record overall in that league is 7-5 because I keep getting hosed by some bad beats, so we'll see. But overall, Josh, pretty good fantasy season for me as well. But as far as like championship confidence, I don't know that I feel a lot of it. I should be able to break even financially. Like, it looks like a good year to break even financially at least, but I don't know that I'm going to be getting rich this year despite the success. Josh, why don't you go ahead and let the people know how things are going in FanDuel?
We disbanded the league for FanDuel.
What? When did that happen?
Yesterday. So the FanDuel top three for the week: Vikes number man with 142.36, Levi Oakey with 137.94, and then Garlic Johnson with 129.96. We do have a shakeup on the leaderboard. Garlic jumped into first with 679.16. Cody's nipping at his heels with 670.44, and then Derek is in third with 662.8. And then Josh had been eliminated because I think he's got 1,000.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Gar, you had a good week, propped up by Tank Dell.
Tank Dell's been in my lineup for like 5 weeks straight. That man doesn't miss. Here. And I had CJ Stroud as well, so that helped.
Yep, same here. I'm trying to think who you had, because I know that...
I'm pretty sure I had Kyren Williams. Don't quote me on that, but
that's who it was. Yep, that's who it was. Because I know that Kyren Williams in the afternoon games helped a lot of people get propped up.
Oh yeah, hey man, because I even
all five of my scores, because I looked earlier, are between like I think 124 and 139 or something like that, or 145. So all of my scores are just kind of right in that same range. So I'm looking for that 160 to just bump up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a great floor, maybe one of the best floors in the top five. But yeah, you need that one boom game to break in, unfortunately. Josh, it looks like you've got some dogs and hogs here you'd like to go over. I don't know how quickly or how longly, but take all the time you need. We can always cut hogs of the market. It's not that important. So without further ado, Josh, what do you got here?
Yeah, so I won't go into the numbers of it all, but the dogs of the week, aka the guys who helped the top 10 players to help teams win games, I believe all of them are over 60%. So 60% of the teams that had these guys in their lineup won their matchup.
So this is
Kyren
this,
Williams.
Sorry, I want to cut you off just so the people know. Is this per like the Fantasy Genius thing or the Fantasy IO or whatever that you were sharing earlier in the year? Or where's this,
yeah,
what's
so the Fantasy
source out of?
Genius. So it's like 2,500 different leagues. But Kyren Williams, is the leader of that board. I think he was like at 78%. And then going on down after that, it's Josh Allen, CMC, Hurts, Dak, the Dolphins D, Bijan, Stroud, Pacheco, and Evans. Gar, do you recognize any of them names on your lineup?
Definitely have Kyren Williams in a couple leagues. Josh Allen, CMC, Josh Allen and CMC, excuse me, helped me set a record against Nikita along with that Dolphins D. I got Hurts in the Guillotine League, don't have Dak anywhere. Have Bijan in the Hidden Oaks Dynasty League, almost took you down, except Kyren was on my bench, otherwise I would have kicked your ass. Don't have CJ Stroud anywhere except for the FanDuel. No Pacheco shares, but Mike Evans was also part of that record-setting squad this week. What about you, Josh? You got any of these home bros?
Yeah, I've got Josh Allen in the deflated league, CMC in Butt Sweat and the Champs League, Hurts in the Hidden Oaks League, Dak in the Hidden, or Hurts in the Hidden Oaks Dynasty, Dak in the Hidden Oaks Redraft, Dolphins D, I have no idea. Bijan, nope. Stroud, I have, and Deflate. And then Pacheco, I have in multiple leagues, and Evans, I don't. Moving on to the Hogs, aka the guys who are hogging screen time and losing you games. It's the Jerry Jeudy show, followed by JSN, Tyler Boyd, the Bills defense, Kareem Hunt, Geno Smith, Jahan Dotson, Rashid Shaheed, Amari Cooper, and the Lions defense. Those are the top 10 worst teams or worst people to have in your lineup if you were expecting to win. Any of those names on your lineups?
I think I had Shaheed starting in the BSB league, but that's because my team is an absolute shell of itself. I think I had Amari Cooper starting in one league, but I still won in that league, so that's not bad. And I think I had the Lions defense starting as well, but that's because that's a league where you have to roster two defenses at all times. So the waiver wire, it's not like I can just pick up and stream whoever I want. So
nice. Yep, that's all I got. I don't have any of those people because I'm not bad.
Okay. I guess I'll give Josh, I'll give the option to you. There's just genuinely, it's not, this is not a trick. There's not a right or wrong answer. We're at about 26 minutes right now. We could do both these segments that are listed here. We could skip both of them and just end early. Or would you rather do Hogs of the Market? Or would you rather, because this is technically a podcast about the Hoodnokes Redraft League, would you look at the, would you want to take a quick speculation at the playoff picture? Do Hogs of the Market or neither?
I'd rather just do Hogs at the Market. We can do a playoff picture kind of later on or next week or something.
I was say, I mean, there's only two more weeks until the playoffs, but all right, yep. We can do that next week. All right, Josh. Well, if it's Hogs at the Market, then we got to ring that opening bell and we got to have Skip and Shannon get us there.
Bacon? You don't put bacon in your body.
Why not?
The worst thing you could put in your body.
I love hog.
It's fried fat.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal. Oink.
That is the opening bell, Josh, and I conveniently don't have any stats here today, so it shouldn't take too long to answer these buys or sells. But for the people who don't know, Josh can see it. No one else can because it's a note sheet that's in front of my eyes. We buy and sell here at the Hog Market, but this week specifically, I'm trying to narrow down Josh's definition of what he would buy. I want him to be very picky about his buying because the playoffs are upon us, so I don't want Josh to be like, yeah, I'd buy him if the price was low, blah, blah, blah. The definition I'm putting Josh to this week is to buy someone specifically in a redraft league, he would have to comfortably start them, feel comfortable starting them in the playoffs coming up here. And for Dynasty, he would have to be excited to start them next year. So it could be a player that's like, maybe not this year, but next year, there'd be my starting lineup, no question. So those are the parameters I'm putting upon you, Josh. And we'll start with Monday night's own failure. He's not a failure. He's a victor, despite his fantasy performance. This is, of course, Mr. Justin Bartholomew Fields. Josh, would you buy or sell the hog of Justin Fields?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on... I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. And
I would... In redraft, I would not buy, but in Dynasty, I would. Because they're shaping up to get a few top picks this upcoming season. And so they should be able to kind of shore up that offensive line, maybe get another weapon out there. And so I think that his legs just make him his running ability makes him such a kind of interesting asset to have. Last night, there were so many plays where he should have been sacked that he just managed to sneak out of and then run away. And so I do think in Dynasty, he's more of a buy as opposed to redraft. I would be just because I'm thinking of other quarterbacks that I have right now, I wouldn't buy them. And so, yeah.
Okay. So I guess there's no fear in your eyes that they go a different direction in quarterback next year, the Bears, which would obviously affect his Dynasty stock quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, that's a very real possibility. But at the same time, maybe you can use that to sway it for a better price.
Okay. All right. So that's Justin Fields. Obviously, it's a mixed answer, but we'll say for redraft because it's what most people are thinking about right now. Justin Fields?
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, to his teammate then. So this will be interesting. You don't trust them. You wouldn't trust this man to start in your lineup. Would you trust one of his receivers, DJ Moore? He's you know, most people would say he's had a solid season, but if you don't trust his quarterback, would you instead trust DJ Moore? Would you have him in your starting lineup going forward?
Depending on your scoring system, if it's PPR, half point PPR, absolutely. If it's standard, no. Then again, he did just put up 100 yards last week. And so he's had back-to-back 20-plus point games in PPR. He's wide receiver 7 in our league right now. So I would buy him in redraft and then in Dynasty as well. He's, to me, DJ Moore is a bye-bye.
All right.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Moving on, Josh, to Mr. Jordan Love. Of course, there's no way you'll be able to perfectly separate yourself from the bias. But, I mean, you just mentioned thinking about all the other fantasy quarterbacks you have. Sounds like you're pretty well set at quarterback, which is obviously good for you. But would you start Jordan Love in fantasy? Are you that confident in the Packers and what they're doing right now in Green Bay?
So I'm trying to find their schedule here so I can look it up.
Jeez, Josh, it's not like prepared for the show, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I would buy him in both. Mainly because of just, I mean, how his last few weeks have gone. He's been trending upwards. And when it comes down to like the playoffs, 15, 16, 17, Tampa Bay's defense, Carolina's defense, and then Minnesota's defense. So maybe not the best matchup for championship week or week 15, but that Carolina defense would be worth a stash at the New York Giants in week 14. So yeah, I'd play him against the Giants. And so if you're one of those leagues that shouldn't exist and have a week 18 championship, that's the Chicago defense. And we all know the Bears stink. So, yeah, Jordan Love, he's a buy. Especially for
Dynasty. Oh, Josh, you ruined the fucking sounder with your talking. Anyways, all right, Jordan Love's a buy. We got only two more names left, Josh, here. So Brandon Cooks, very simply. It seems like he has definitely surpassed Michael Gallup as that number two in Dallas. How do we feel about Brandon Cooks? Dak's been lighting it up. Dallas looks good. We're going to start Brandon Cooks in the playoffs here?
I mean, find me a more underappreciated wide receiver than Brandon Cooks, and I'll listen. But I ever since he was on the Saints, which was like 40 years ago,
I think it was 4.7 years ago. Yeah,
but the guy's been moved so much. I mean, Dynasty to me, he's a sell. He's getting up there in age, if I remember correctly.
I mean, if he's on the Saints 40 years ago, yeah, he's got to be at least 60.
Yeah, so to me, he's a sell. I don't necessarily think I'd feel comfortable starting him. Granted, that's usually because I draft wide receivers the first 3 out of 4 rounds. So unless there's injuries galore, but yeah, for me, Brandon Cooks is a sell.
All right, Brandon Cooks.
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, to one Mr. Zach Charbonnet, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Kenneth Walker is banged up. It sounds like Kenneth Walker is going to continue to be banged up. He was doing pretty good in fantasy overall, but now Charbonnet is in, and he is not necessarily filling the shoes perfectly. How do you feel about Zach Charbonnet moving forward?
I think that entire team just kind of needs to take a deep breath and get some bubble gum. And so they'll be back next year. But in redraft, not comfortable starting Zach Charbonnet. In Dynasty, I would say he's a good asset to have.
All right, we're going with the redraft, so we'll say Zach Charbonnet.
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh. Always get cut off by that damn bell. Zach Morris would be pissed. That's all the time we have for folks. That was the closing bell. Josh, we'll move into the outro. Anything you'd love to say to the lovely folks for listening so much before we go ahead and head off and then return Saturday morning at 8 a.m. sharp?
Pew, pew, shots, explosives. Go Packers.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.
Also, how crazy is it that the Champions League is already set for playoffs, basically?
It's true. 2 weeks to go. And unless someone puts up, 200 or 170 more points than JWoww, yeah, it's all set. That is crazy. I mean, obviously, seeding matters. Like, the bye weeks matter. I don't think anyone's clinched the bye yet, but crazy.
How dare you?
Have you clinched the bye?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, relax, dude. Chill. Chill, dude.
Foster's out here trying to jinx me for the bye and deflate these balls.
Bruh. And then you look at go back to the redraft league for Hidden Oaks. You got T's already eliminated from the playoffs. Brian's already eliminated from the playoffs. Bradley's been eliminated from the playoffs. It's tough out here, man.
Who gets the bye in? Oh, top two teams?
In the redraft league? Just one.
It's no, in champions.
Yeah, it's a 16 playoffs for the top two teams.
Okay. So yeah, if you lose a game and I win at least one.
You've locked it in.
Yep.
Oh, good thing I won't lose, brother. Sometimes your laws are quiet.
There's a couple words coming out my mouth that form sentences, and those sentences happen to contain words.
Wow. Gotta make you just a little bit louder. You're a little quiet today, Josh. But I fixed it, so don't talk any different or I'll kill you.